And now, B1039 presents Big Rapids Buzz with Bruce Borkovich and Chris Law. Brought to you by
The Pet Boutique on South 3rd Avenue in Big Rapids. Paris Creek Jewelry in Paris. Purely Clean Services in Big Rapids. Barreton Firearms and Training Center in Barreton. 911 Restoration serving all of West Michigan. Gilbert's Carpets Plus Color Tile in South Big Rapids. As well as Bett & Baker Big Rapids. And Big Rapids Realty, Susan Bean in Big Rapids.
Along with support from the community. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of Up North Radio, its staff, management, or sponsors.
I'm coming. Just hold on. I'm coming.
Good morning, Big Rapids. This is Big Rapids Buzz with Chris Long and
Bruce Borkovich. Morning, Chris.
Good morning. So over the weekend, I went over to Pete and Lucy's house, and I was checking up and making sure he's all good with his knee, and he's getting a little bit better. But Lucy made some chicken noodle soup, and I had some chicken noodle soup, and I love chicken noodle soup. Okay, it's one of my favorite soups. But she does it differently. She doesn't put chunks of chicken in there. She shreds
chicken. Oh, like a rotisserie chicken?
Yes.
Or something.
Oh,
does
so
that
good.
Sound nice?
It's so good.
So can you confirm that Lucy's a good cook?
Oh, yes. Definitely. Definitely. They're such great people. They really are.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I wasn't here for your birthday. And so on air this morning, happy birthday. I was up laying stone on my sister's fireplace. But welcome to 30. And it hit me when I saw you at a birthday. Most of my scars are older than you. I've got blue jeans older than you. I mean, it's wow, that's something. But yeah. Happy birthday. And Chris, as I look through Bookface, I know it's Facebook. As I look through Bookface, Goshen's still very much alive and in the headlines in this community. What say you?
Well, I mean, it's going to stay on the community's headline until Goshen is gone, I'll tell you that. But there's a lot of rumors that the township is in breach of an agreement and the development agreement. That's the rumors that are going around. I don't really know. I know that Mesa last week on the 27th, they put out a letter talking about the development agreement and how the development agreement was never finalized, okay? And so if the development agreement was never finalized because the old board didn't put it out in front of the public at a public meeting, I remember in August, I think it was, the board approved Jim to work on the agreement and then get back. And they never did the getting back and approving it by the board. Jim does not have the power to just entering agreements and move on without the board's
approval.
That's
a board decision. And it sounds like your position is that there should have been another session for public input.
Absolutely. That's the whole point of Open Meetings Act, that any agreement that the township gets into, you have to bring it in front of the public.
Yep. Chris, I just don't want people to get lost in the mix. MESA is the Macosta Environmental and Security Alliance.
Yes.
It's a nonprofit.
Yes.
And it is it consists of people who are opponents of Goshen, and we don't need to hide that.
Correct. And you can find out more at protectmacosta.org.
That's the website.
Yeah.
Excellent. So I didn't mean to
also rumors that Jason is the president, and he did start the organization, but he hasn't been president since he took office at the township, and now the board has changed.
And to clarify, the conflict against the board and their action isn't the current board.
Correct.
That would have been the board prior to the recall. I don't want people to think, oh my goodness, the current board has already screwed up, or the current board. A little bit more about that.
No, like the old board made a mistake. They didn't bring it forth to the public, the finalized agreement, to have a board vote on. So there is no development agreement in our stance. And Goshen, from the rumors online, is saying that Green Township is in breach of the development agreement. How can you be in breach of something if it doesn't exist because it was never properly finalized to Michigan law?
Right. Chris, in law enforcement, we call this the fruit of the poisonous tree. So, for instance, if I arrest you and I do something unconstitutional and get evidence from you, I search your place without a warrant, I question you, I have you in custody and I question you and don't read your Miranda rights, any evidence that I obtain is excluded. That's the fruit from the poisonous tree. It's the exact same thing in the township world. It sounds like your position is this would be the alleged agreement is fruit of the poisonous tree, because although an agreement may have been talked about and signed, it doesn't matter because it was done in violation of the Open Meetings Act.
Correct.
So it's evidence that doesn't
at
exist
no point,
that can't be used.
Yeah, at no point after the August meeting was it ever brought up again. It was never put on, and there was the September, you had the October, and they could have did special meetings. They did special meetings in the past. Why couldn't they do a special meeting to finalize it? So this was a mistake on their behalf, and they didn't finalize it. Whether
was it a mistake?
I don't know. Who knows? I don't know, but it wasn't finalized.
When I say that, I'm baiting. Was it unintentionally, or was it truly a mistake?
I have no idea.
We don't know, do we?
I don't know those answers. Only we certain don't. People know what, those answers.
What we do know for sure, it's factual, that the old people, representatives from the old board, represented the fact that just about everyone was in support of the project in Green Township.
That's what they claimed.
That's right. And what we do know is eventually a survey was done, and I forget the exact numbers. It was over 70% of Green Township residents were opposed to it.
Yes, yeah. And that's the whole thing with this whole Renaissance Agreement. The Renaissance Agreement in the Michigan law states that you have to show community support. And I don't understand how they could show community support if they never did a survey and they're only, well, I talked to a few people. Who? Well, you don't have to tell us who, but what are those numbers? We've never. How did you get those numbers to come up with that number that you have that support? 90%, I think it was stated at the Senate hearings. How can you claim that without any data? As an engineer, we work with data. Okay, and just to make these brash decisions with the hope, I personally think they were just trying to get it under the rug, and that March meeting, the March 14th or 13th, whatever that was last year, that was the pivotal moment where the public found out officially. I mean, they found out about it in the Pioneer, but everybody just kind of shrugged it off, I guess, because there's just a lot of people that, I mean, not many people look at the Pioneer anymore, and haven't been for a while. But the people didn't really know and come together until that March meeting. And then what they saw was hostility and against basically any public input. And everything's been downhill since. So, yeah.
It certainly has. And what I find interesting, when I got involved in this, I had serious environmental concerns about the plant, and then I had suspected security concerns.
Yeah,
suspected. And
did
and
you
my
know about
are,
the Chinese connection
I,
at
I
the
did.
Time?
I did.
When did you first get involved?
Well, boy, Chris, that is a great question. I should really put a date in that. I couldn't even tell you. What I can tell you is with this proposed site is within 2 miles of our farm, and that was the real wake up call.
Yeah.
But at the time, there were a lot of perceived or supposed security concerns. But 2 days ago, the director of the FBI, now this is person, this is Biden's director, right? So this is not partisan. This is not a conservative. The director of the FBI talked about the terrible threat to our intellectual property and our cybersecurity and called the Chinese and the proposed construction of these plants, quote, the defining threat to our generation, unquote. Mm-hmm. That's, I'll repeat that, the defining threat to our generation. Yeah. And then yesterday, two former directors of the CIA specifically talked about this plant here and what a terrible idea it is, and that it will be used for those purposes, for to attack us, not with guns and bombs, but to attack our and this is, I know I'm speaking way out left field, this is your world, but our cybersecurity and our intellectual property. And so I think what's happened, so much more now has come forward regarding security concerns by experts.
Yeah.
This isn't politics. These are not, you know, politicians. These are our national security experts. So I think there's far more evidence now tipping the scales on what a it isn't a supposed threat. We need to peel away partisanship and understand anyone, if you're really being intellectual about this, you've got to realize this is a threat.
Well, I think it goes back to the, first of all, I don't understand why some of these community leaders in this town refuse to look at the facts of our stance. And they even refuse to even acknowledge what the CIA said, and the former CIA...
the FBI director and the two former CIA directors.
They refuse to even acknowledge those statements, and they only reiterate what a certain individual that's being idolized to bring this company here. He's being idolized as the savior of the community, and I just don't understand. They only get their facts from that, or Whitmer, or whatever. I don't get it. I think deep down there's been a lot of community leaders in this area that are feeling that they've been duped, but because of their personal, what people will look at them as flipping sides. I think they're afraid come out and say, yeah, I did wrong. I was on the wrong side. I didn't look at the facts. That's the big thing. I've talked to a lot of these people, and they said, and they admitted, they have not looked at the other side. They haven't looked at they don't want to. It's not that they don't want to. I really, truly think that they're scared, because what will that mean to their reputation? What will that mean to their political career? What will that mean when the whole church finds out that they convinced the church early on, go with this idea, and these people look up to them as mentors and elders and not idolized, but they look up to these people because they've been in town for so long, and people, they look to them for advice, and
I think
their opinion matters.
You're spot on. I'm not defending these people. I'm talking about human nature. Don't you think it's really, really hard for many people, special people in authority, to say, wow, I was wrong, and I learned something. I see that as a huge sign of strength.
Yes,
I see that
absolutely.
Anyone in an authority position to say, this is how I felt.
Yes.
I learned more.
Yes.
And now I feel this way on my show. John Molinar, and it tells you what a great leader he is.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly his initial thought.
Wanted to bring jobs, which
makes
sense.
That's great. That's what we want.
Yeah.
We want the right jobs. And John Molinar will admit, and then he did his research, he learned, and now he's our biggest ally or one of them in this battle. But I think you really hit it, that it is really, really hard. And I think people hard to admit I'm changing my mind. And I think people see it as a sign of weakness. I personally see it as a sign of strength.
Absolutely.
I mentioned on the
because
show
it
last
shows humility that you are human.
Absolutely.
You make mistakes. Everybody makes
absolutely.
Mistakes. That's okay.
Yeah.
But to double down and triple down and not admit it because you're too afraid what the public will perceive of you, or how that will hurt your political career, that if you're worried about how it will affect your political career, you are in politics and in a community leader position for the wrong reasons.
There's no doubt. Jen will remember on our last show, one of my famous quotes, I have a million of them, the secret to perpetual ignorance is to be satisfied with your opinions and content with your knowledge.
Yeah.
You will be ignorant forever.
Yes.
You will be mired in ignorance. And, you know, I used to tell my police officers, and it's something I feel so strongly, the two most important skills a police officer can develop is the ability to apologize and the ability to explain. And if those folks who are interested in changing a position would just take that in mind, ability to apologize or ability to say, listen, I've changed my mind and here's why.
Yeah.
And explain. That's pretty important.
I don't know if it's just because it's my attitude on life or the younger generation of me. And I know that the older generations are more reserved. But these things, these apologies that will have to come out, they can't be, or these changes of stance, they cannot be in private space. You have to, we're so far deep that it has to be public now. You cannot go along and be like, yeah, I talked to everybody privately. Yeah. It doesn't work.
I don't disagree with that. I think, you know, you have to think about pace. You know, there's something out of Proverbs, and I'll butcher part of it, but patience is the calm acceptance that the order of things may be different than what you have in your mind.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you and I are on the same page, and I see it as such a strength from any leader to say, this is how I felt. I have learned more, and now this is how I feel.
Yeah.
That's huge. And eventually, I hope, you know, people have the patience for those community leaders to do that.
Yeah.
So what else? I mean, internet seems to be buzzing again.
Yeah. Well, again, back on that whole the supposed breach and that Goshen's going to sue the township. I'll tell you this. If Goshen sues the township, that will be the biggest mistake for a PR stance that they could do. You're trying to get community support.
Yeah.
You're trying to move into this community, the community where you're trying to get people to work for you and respect you and everything, and you're going to sue the community that you're trying to come to. That will be the biggest mistake. That is just absurd.
I agree.
If they do, it's going to be the biggest mistake.
Could really backfire. But again, we talked about how that, you know, that if there's a challenge or if there's a lawsuit, that's kind of out of order, because I think the first thing that has to be determined is what is that agreement, and is it valid, and was there a violation of the Open Meetings Act?
In my opinion, if Goshen wants to sue anybody, Goshen should be suing the MEDC, okay? Because the reality is that land that they bought, supposedly, is wetlands, okay? Once you remove the trees, it's going to turn into a swamp, essentially. And now you have to mitigate that swamp and the wetlands. And the MEDC, not knowing what they got themselves into and got the Renaissance Zone, they don't know what the land is. I bet you the MEDC hasn't even been there to actually walk the land and understand what they got, but there's going to be millions of dollars that they have to do to mitigate those wetlands. And the Goshen should sue the MEDC for selling them crappy land. I mean, that's who you should be suing. You can't squeeze water from a turnip, or whatever the saying goes, from suing the township. It's only going to hurt you if you try to sue the township. The people you should be angry with is the MEDC. Goshen, Chuck, go sue the MEDC. They're the ones who are screwing you.
Yeah, I agree that could be a real tactical error.
Yeah.
If those, you know, I don't know or haven't heard anything. I've heard rumblings. If in fact that will be their tactic, is to sue the township. We're in small town America here, and we're neighbors.
You want to know how a story goes nationwide?
Yes,
sue a township, especially with this level.
Especially this township, the one that just made history. Being recalled. There's a movie in this thing.
Yes.
I'm telling you, Chris, you're a young guy. You've got time and money and energy. And, you know, I'll probably be long gone by then. But there's got to be a movie in this thing before it's all done.
Yeah.
This thing's interesting. But so we're talking about Goshen. But we really need to talk about taking a break. We're going to continue the conversation after these messages from our local sponsors of the Big Rapids Buzz. You are listening to WBZX Big Rapids on B1039. You are listening to WBZX Big Rapids on B1039. I am Bruce Borkovich.
And I'm Chris Long.
And we're going to continue the conversation, but we're really going to you know, change channels. We talked about what I would consider some conservative values when we talked, had our talk about Goshen. But Chris, you and I both had an amazing experience
here
recently, and we attended a banquet and an event dealing with the Russell Kirk Center.
Yes.
And Chris, I've been a conservative my whole life. I have never in my life ever heard anyone talk about or say the words Russell Kirk.
Yes.
And you're going to talk about it here in a minute. But Russell Kirk actually lived in this county.
Yep.
And Chris.
Village of Maquesta.
Yep. Chris, tell the audience who he is and how he is meaningful, what he means in the politics in 2024.
So we went to the event, and the Russell Kirk Center was there. I never heard of Russell Kirk until around November. Right around the election, there was a post on Only Things Goshen that I think Jim and a few others were talking about Russell Kirk, and I never heard of his name. And then when I looked him up, I saw that he was in Maquesta County. I'm like, oh, whatever. Just like how could Maquesta County impact anybody like that? I just kind of blew it off. And then the event happened, and I go there, and I say, I'm like, oh, well, I guess Russell Kirk's kind of a big deal. And I did some more research and listening to the event and Annette Kirk speak, which is Russell Kirk's wife. I've been here 7 years. I'm 30 years old. I had no idea that conservatism started in Maquesta County. The whole conservative movement started in Maquesta County.
For this area or Michigan?
Nationally, the whole thing, it all started here in Maquesta County. And I don't know if that's Maquesta County's best kept secret that we had Russell Kirk live here and his grandparents founded the village of Maquesta. I don't know how. I mean, did you know this?
I only knew it, and I didn't know near the details because I had friends who lived here who pointed the house out years ago, and I still wasn't wise enough to dig in and say, what does that really mean?
Yeah.
And because I don't think at that time they said, hey, he's the father of conservatism.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea, Chris, this is my ignorance showing, that conservatism is so new.
In the retrospect, yeah.
Basically 1952, when he did his PhD, his dissertation, that became the movement.
I was under the impression that liberalism was the new thing, and conservatism has been around for a long time. Now, conservatism comes up with its foundations from stuff that is very old and traditional. The reality is that liberalism, the reason why we think liberalism is new is because their ideas continuously evolve at a rate to entropy, okay? I mean, it's chaotic evolving.
That's what the progressive movement, right?
That is exactly. Where conservatism, it's not actually, we're not, a lot of people think that conservatives are supposed to only respect the traditional values and we don't change. The reality is it's a slow, steady growth while keeping to your true traditional values and learning from the past, the permanent things. And I met Annette Kirk. You and I sat and talked to her for, I don't know, maybe
the widow of Russell. Maybe Russell died in the
90s. 94. Yeah. Well, the same year that I was born.
Really?
Yeah. And, We sat and talked, and I was like, well, I've heard since learning in November, I've heard about the Conservative Mind book, and I was eventually going to read it, but the event kind of put it in high speed to want to get that book, and we're sitting there, and Annette goes, well, grab that book over there on the counter, and I brought it over, and she signed it and gave it to me, yeah. And I think she gave you a book as well. Which book was that?
She gave me a shortened version because I think she knows I'm old and I might not have time on this earth to read the long one. And so she gave me, and that was a kind way to say, wow, you're really old. And I think she looked at you and realized you had plenty of time to read
It's a 500-page book. The conservative mind book that she gave me, 500 pages, I believe. But it was based off his dissertation that he wrote in Scotland for his degree in letters.
It's amazing. And Chris, you and I talked about this a little bit, and you mentioned it kind of hit you that no one, you didn't read a book at one time, or you didn't sign a petition saying I'm a conservative, that it kind of hit you after going to this event of this.
I went to the event, and then I started reading the book. I've never read any conservative. I actually never read any political books. I'm more of nonfiction in the sense of technology and things like that. I've read plenty of software books and electronics books, but never any political.
That politics is fiction.
Yes. But
we know that
I started reading The Conservative Mind, and I'm reading it, and there's still some more ways to go. But I'm reading it, and I'm like, wow, the stuff resonates with me. And so much of it, I, you know, like shower thoughts while you first wake up in the morning, you take a shower and you have these thoughts going through your mind. So much of what I'm reading, I'm like, I had these thoughts years ago of, I don't know, this is just who I am and what I believed, and I came to this organically. I didn't read any book or listen to any speech and said, I'm a conservative. I'm reading this book, and I'm like, it validates everything that I've believed for the whole time. And it goes back to why I left college. I didn't want to be indoctrinated. I wasn't learning anything, and I got sick and tired of listening to the same stuff over and over. Or in high school, how they taught civics and all those things, it's I remember asking the teacher about certain amendments and certain rights and unalienable rights, and they would teach it from the progressive standpoint, which is or like the whole democracy versus constitutional republic. Yeah. I was the one in high school saying, well, technically we're a constitutional republic, not a democracy. And that got into a whole heated debate, but I'm not going to argue with the high school teacher. You're going to get nowhere.
Yeah. Well, you'll get somewhere. It won't be anywhere good. You know, Chris, it's interesting to hear you say that because I remember listening to, pardon me, I forgot his name, the son-in-law of Annette. And he said really something really impactful, that conservatism is a disposition.
Yes.
It's your disposition.
Yeah.
When we have a pet, pets have a disposition.
Yep.
Some of them are aggressive and dumb. Some of them are very smart. Some, you know, maybe devious. And some of them are just, this is who I am.
Yep.
They're sweet. They're nice. They're predictable. It's their disposition. And it was interesting to have him illuminate that conservatism is a disposition.
Yep.
It's a adherence to core beliefs
that are permanent to you.
That are permanent to you while maintaining an open mind and being prudent. He talked about prudent and being practical to listen to all sides and then determine, just like we talked in segment one, is there something I can learn that could change my mind and yet not deviate from my disposition?
You listen to all sides, reflect, and then make a decision. Not these brash, go left, go right, go left, go right, go forward, turn around, all these crazy things that the progressive party is doing. And a lot of what is happening in Big Rapids, they're making brash decisions based on little information, or they're over exaggerating the information presented and using virtue signaling, like, oh, everybody's poor, so this will make everybody rich, or we're poorest county in Michigan, and this is going to be the savior. So you turn into idolizing this utopia. I mean, the book talks a lot about this. What they're it you got to read the book. Okay, it's a complex book. I mean, there is the other one.
I'm going to read that little skinny one.
The skinny
that
one
is a synopsis.
The synopsis of the book she gave me. I encourage everybody to look into it. It's very informative, and I guarantee you, it will resonate with a lot of people. And I just can't believe that first of all, this is the birthplace, Mecosta County.
It's crazy.
Of all places I could have moved to, and I didn't know that this was that place.
Yep.
It was just a spot on the map. Of all places in the U.S. and in Michigan, Mecosta County is the birthplace of conservatism from way back in the 50s when that movement started. And then to pair that knowledge with what we accomplished in November and the significance of what we did there, and then even looking back at what the historic annexation and detachment from the late 80s and early 90s, there is so much stuff that is historical first and impactful that has happened here in Mecosta County that I don't think a lot of people realize.
Very true. And, you know, I've heard people quote the recall of the entire township has never happened before in history. Well, yeah. I don't know if that's true. Has it happened in Michigan? Maybe, maybe not. Has it happened in the United States? Maybe, maybe not. But I can tell
at
you.
At the level that we did it, I'm pretty sure it was proven. I'm not sure.
That's what we've heard.
Yeah.
But what we do know is it was rare.
Yes.
It was impossible to some.
Yes.
And
we were told you're not going to be successful.
Don't do it.
You're stupid for doing that. We were told that.
Absolutely. And I had friends of mine who know I was involved, and they were like, do you think you have a chance? And
I could say one or two.
You have to get around a group of your neighbors, your fellow countrymen, wonderful men and women who are patriotic and are committed to something, and they just energize you. They're like, it's a force multiplier just to be around their energy. Yeah. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
And we made it, we made the impossible happen.
Yeah.
And we did it according to the rules and the Constitution. And it was, I keep quoting we the people. It was a we the people thing.
Absolutely.
So, so that was a really neat event. And it was neat to see some friends there. It was really neat to see you there.
I was the youngest person in the room.
You were. Matter of fact, at the time, you were still 29, right?
Yes.
You were. And that was a neat community event. And speaking of community events,
before. We're going to have, I talked to Annette, we're going to have Annette on the show.
Yes.
If I have to take the radio show to the Russell Kirk Event Center.
What a neat lady. I would never ask her, but do you have a guess at how old she is?
I have
no
idea.
She's ageless.
Yes.
She could be 60 and she could be 90.
I have no idea.
Or older. She's just beautiful, you know, statuesque, and she's so intelligent and so well-read. It was it was like you were around royalty talking to her.
I couldn't believe it.
And so great community event that we both got to attend. Yeah. Now, how about a little bit of community buzz?
Yes.
The Green Charter Township Board meeting will be Tuesday, February 13th, 2024 at 6 p.m. Address is 21431 Northland Drive in Paris. The monthly board meetings in Green Township occur on the second Tuesday of each month. That's a recurring, that's required by charter that they set that at the beginning of the year. Want to meet new friends, see what's going on in Big Rapids? Check out the bigrapids.org/event-detail. Man, did I butcher that, Chris, but that's what it says. bigrapids.org/event-detail. Yeah, okay. If I slow it down, it makes some sense. If you are interested in joining Rotary Club of Big Rapids, you can find them on Bookface. That's Facebook. It's a little joke between my daughter and I. On Facebook at Rotary Club of Big Rapids, or stop by the lower level of Artworks Building on Tuesdays at noon. Remember, the first two lunches are on them. The Missiola Curry Comfort Home is looking for donations for their home. Check out their website, MissiolaCurryComfortHome.com, or call 231-287-2208. And the Animal Rescue Coalition is a nonprofit no-kill shelter. They always need donations of food and toys. They are Mecosta County's only shelter. They also rehab abused and neglected pets. So remember, to adopt, don't shop. And any pet is a lifetime commitment, so take it seriously. Each animal they have, all need a forever family.
We would like to thank our sponsors this week: the Pet Boutique, Paris Creek Jewelry, Purely Clean Services, Barrington Firearms Training Center, 911 Restoration, Gilbert's Carpets Plus Color Tile, Benton Baker of Big Rapids, Susan Bean at Big Rapids Realty, along with other supportive people and businesses of the community. We thank each and every one of you for getting behind our show. And if you would like to sponsor our show, The Big Rapids Buzz, call your best friend Jen here at B1039 at 231-796-1103, and she'll get you started. Listen again next Monday at 8:30 a.m. for Big Rapids Buzz with me, Chris Long, and
Bruce Borkovich.
Big Rapids Buzz.
Listen again next Monday at 8:30 a.m. for Big Rapids Buzz with Bruce Borkovich and Chris Law. Brought to you by
The Pet Boutique on South 3rd Avenue in Big Rapids, Paris Creek Jewelry in Paris, Purely Clean Services in Big Rapids, Barreton Firearms and Training Center in Barreton, 911 Restoration serving all of West Michigan, Gilbert's Carpets Plus Color Tile in South Big Rapids, as well as Bett and Baker of Big Rapids, and Big Rapids Realty Susan Bean in Big Rapids.
Along with support from the community, Big Rapids Buzz, a presentation of B1039.
Big Rapids Buzz.